Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff. Grown Up
Stuff. Hello and welcome to Wake and Jake. Tier list season rolls on. Myself, Jolly Olive, BBD. And today we take on maybe my favorite position on the baseball field. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Center field. No need to do the whole song at this point. And a list that surprised us because it's a little uglier. I think it's a little uglier at the top than I expected. I thought we were kind of in peak center field season, and I don't know. It's an interesting list. There's some good depth, but some thin spots at the top. Sounds like my hair. Jolly, how are you?
That was good. Jake, I'm good. Fitting that I'm wearing this shirt because I like this team. Me, BBD, and Jake. It's a good team. Happy to do another tier list. Center field's weird, man. You kind of need a good glove out there, some good legs.
Yes.
Out there as well to go and get it. One of our tiers. Spoiler. And sometimes you get the added bonus of a bat. It's very top heavy. There's a lot of really good talent in center field. Stars of the game. And then there's everybody else. And we'll see. A lot of these guys could turn into stars. In fact, we've been waiting for some of them to turn into stars for a few years now. So I'm excited to rank them all. Two guys at the top that get me excited, get me jazzed up. Spoiler. BBD, I'm excited to chat with you as well.
Jazz at the top.
I like talking to you guys.
Is that a tease from Jolly? Let's give you our tier lanes. Tier lanes. We currently have 7 listed. We'll see if there's any adding or subtracting. You know we're not shy, but I feel pretty good about these.
This might be one we've got our groups.
And yeah, I guess when I was describing the center fielders, if our tier list was a body, I think the shoulders pec area would be weak and the legs get pretty thick. If you know
what I'm talking by number of bodies.
Yeah, if that makes any sense. At the top, our S tier. And this is a little facetious, people, but is it? But maybe it's not. Our top tier for center field is Happy Ohtani's gone. We'll sort through that. The second tier, the Promised Princes. Couple interesting, fun names there. The third tier is the Likeable Lefties. The fourth tier, your $100 million mystery box. Fun category. After that is New Music. Okay. Second to last tier is Goes and Gets It, and the final tier is Goes. So they can run a little bit. I don't know. The bottom gets weird with this. This is always fun because I never know truly where to start. Where do you think we should start, Jolly? I guess what gets you going?
You know what? I'm not going to say top or bottom here. I want to start with the Likeable Lefties.
Okay.
Because this was a
clear-cut lane.
Yeah. This was a tier that we had some trouble naming. Likeable is a big word here. Because I don't know if we love any of these guys, but these are good center fielders. One of them might have just gotten paid. Whoa. And I expect them to be great. I would fully believe in them being great. I just can't commit to that yet. Do you have one name you want to rip off top?
Let's do kind of the most recent one. You mentioned a big signing. Just kind of misses on $100 million mystery box. But that's because he might go and get a lot more in a minute. Cody Bellinger. Hard not to like Belly, whether you're a memes fan, a defense fan, or an offensive fan.
Right.
Depending the season. Belly, the reason no one was in love with Belly and everyone was in like with Belly is because he had a couple seasons that were just atrocious at the plate. We all hope it's shoulder related, but man, you could slot him in to play some good defense. And if he gives you the same year he gave last year, he'll probably be climbing the list, maybe a promised prince. But Belly, he might be the most naturally talented in this category. But also, if Belly gives us a bad year this year, everyone's going to be like, he last year would turn into an outlier.
Yeah.
A double outlier.
No, it's true. He unfortunately gets his past 2 years counted against him before 2023. It's weird because he kind of is the promised prince for Cubs fans right now. Like, he's back, so, like, we're going to the playoffs. We're winning the NL Central. I don't know if I'm there yet. I got to see it another year, and if he does do it another year, then yeah, they probably are in the playoffs. It felt like a disservice to put him in $100 million mystery box because while he is a mystery box and while he did get precisely like that amount of money, he's a guy that's won the MVP award before.
Yeah.
You know, there's two other guys here that have done that, and they're probably going to be at the top of the list. So for Belly, it's kind of a let's see who you are at this point in your career. And yeah, if he does do it again, he's probably opting out. We're going through this saga one more time. So I like Belly a lot. I don't know if I love him.
Yeah. It's Belly. You guys know him. You probably have your stance on him already for this season. I don't think we're going to change your thoughts on it. The other likable lefties, again, a funky little category here. I'll throw the next one out there because it's a team that I'm apparently too hot on. Well, depends who you're talking to. TJ Friedl, setting the tone for those Cincinnati Reds. Again, the names that get thrown out on social media or MLB Network or wherever you're getting, you know, if you're getting the Ellies, Noel V's, some other bodies, TJ Friedl has set the tone batting at the top of the lineup for the Cincinnati Reds team. 3.8 WAR last year.
Nice.
An 8.19 OPS. He kind of built upon a solid 22 to put together a nice 2023 season. 18 homers, 27 stolen bases, and a .352 on base percentage at the top of the lineup. 28 years old. And I think he's one of the probably more underrated players around baseball.
Terry Lee Friedl.
Oof.
Born in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. What is that? That's crazy. Jake, you know what speaks to me?
Terry Lee Friedl.
When a lefty goes out there and kills lefties, 962 OPS against left-handed pitching for TJ Friedl.
There's a stat. Where'd he get the J from?
Junior? Terry Lee Jr. Friedl?
I'm assuming that's a junior.
Terry T.L. Jr. Friedl doesn't work. T.L.J. Friedl?
T.L. Friedl is a great poet. T.J. Friedl is a great center fielder.
Whoa. Wow.
That's weird.
T.S. Friedl? Like T.S. Eliot? No? Anyway.
His three older sisters and his second cousin is Coach Cal.
What?
Okay. All right. T.J. Friedl, you're out. You're just off the list.
And do I have it here correctly that he was undrafted? Because I'm not seeing a draft round for him, which is pretty nuts.
Okay, he just doesn't exist.
TJ Friedl is a unicorn of all unicorns.
TJ Friedl.
We all made him up.
I like him a lot. I was really excited to talk about him and give him some shine because he's one of those guys that you can kind of be like, hey, have you guys seen a lot of TJ Friedel if you watch a lot of ball? I assume the Wake and Jake fans, no one loved TJ Friedel because they know ball. But yeah, man, there's a lot to love from that first full year of play from 138 games last year. That gets me excited. 27 swipes, Jake, from the top of the lineup.
I'm so out.
Are you nauseated now?
None of this makes sense. If you know the full story, dude had 13 swipes in 88 college games. And he just stole 27 at the major league level?
Everything
what is
backwards.
Any of this?
Everything is backwards.
TJ Friedel's family, please reach out to us.
We like him.
We want to know more because he was awesome last year. That's so.
We want to learn you.
Sewickley.
What the heck?
You ever been to Sewickley, BBD?
No, I looked it up. It's not the part of Pennsylvania I've spent extended time in.
Doesn't exist.
West.
Lovable lefties, or excuse me, likable. This guy was lovable, and I think he's become likable. Cedric Mullins of the Birds. One of John Boy's favorite players to watch, can go and get it defensively, put together some offensive seasons that it's like, ooh, Cedric Mullins. I think if you're ranking tier listing center fielders, you'd be like, ooh, Ceddie's got to be up there, right? Coming off a not super impressive year, 233, 305, a 721 OPS, back-to-back years with a 721 OPS, John.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. I think it gets swept under the rug because the Orioles were great and will probably be great again, especially offensively. He doesn't need to be the backbone of the offense anymore. From 2021 to 2022, two seasons combined, center fielders, weighted runs created plus. Judge, 181, far above anybody else. The other four, Nimmo, Starling Marte, Brian Reynolds, Cedric Mullins. He was a top five center fielder over a two-year span of qualified hitters, and he was staying on the field playing in good center field. So he was lovable. You're right. I think if he had one more year like 2021 last year, he muscles his way up to Promise Princes because he's a much larger piece of a really good Orioles lineup. I think, unfortunately, you have to count it against him a little bit. Still above league average, though. Like,
I have fantastic news.
Great.
Cedric Mullins was out twice last year with groin injuries. That's tough.
Yeah.
His first 53 games last year, 835 OPS.
He was hurt.
Two groin injuries in 63 games, a 614 OPS. I feel a lot better about
it. I'm glad you told me that.
Because the feel of Cedric Mullins did not look like last year's stats.
And in that Orioles team, to have what looks on paper to be a not particularly productive Cedric Mullins.
Okay.
Felt weird to look
at. I feel good about that. And this is why we go through it. This is why we go through it.
Ninth in MVP voting in 2021. Top 10.
Yeah.
That's like a dude.
Yeah. He can be.
That's real.
He can take over a game defensively and offensively. Really happy with where that landed. And yeah, a lot of times injuries, that'll change the box score for a year, and you got to dive into it. So I'm happy we found that. I think there's one other lefty on here. Guy put up kind of a massive rookie season, and it's just, what does it really mean?
James Outman.
Sneaky great baseball name.
He's
a fielder?
Man. You're out, man. No, you're in, man. You're in this tier. If this is what we're calling B tier, like, if we want to do away with the silly names and call it S tier, A tier, B tier. A B tier of Bellinger, Friedel, Mullins feels right. I think Outman is kind of a weird spot because I think he's better than a C tier player. And I don't know if he's a $100 million player at this point in his career. I don't think the Dodgers have that on their radar as an extension. But this was a guy that lit the league on fire as soon as he came up last year, won the starting job. In April, he had a 991 OPS. There were some growing pains. I think a big thing I like about Outman is that he had that great first month. The league figured him out for 2 months, and then he adjusted. He got back to being who he was, 904, 890, 775 OPS last 3 months. So that's kind of a big thing for me when you're a rookie player, We talked a lot about sophomore slumps, especially with teams like the Orioles and stuff like that. Let's see who he is this year. One thing I want to see, 181 strikeouts last year, 32 strikeout percentage. Let's bring that down because a lot of things can come from putting the ball in play, baby.
Man, some of his numbers.
They're nice.
My goodness. From July 1st to August 31st, 2 months of ball. James Outman, 291, 419.
Yeah.
896 for a kid, for a rook, and the Dodgers have him.
Where are they batting him every day?
The Dodgers just have him. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah, casual, you know, six-hitter on the Dodgers.
He's got some platoon splits. You'd like to see that. You hope it doesn't become, I don't want to say jock-esque, but the Dodgers are so talented that they usually... Jolly sneezed.
No, I didn't. No.
They usually have right-handed options. Then I don't know. I hope he gets opportunity to play against lefties because that's the best way to get better. But yeah, I mean, James Outman has an argument to be almost above this tier. But with any rookie, like, let's see it again. He had highs and lows. I think you can, like, you spun it. That can be a plus. You know, sometimes if rookies have that kind of awesome blossom season where they haven't gotten punched in the mouth by baseball, then you get punched and that changes the tone. Tough not to like James Outman.
I like him.
Crap, man.
I like him.
God. That closes out that tier. I think there's one guy that could...
There is one guy.
No. I think we'll we're going to leave it now.
We'll get to it.
I want to jump to the top. Sometimes I feel bad when we leave the top to the end and people drudge through 50 minutes of this just waiting to hear what they've probably already known.
Drudge?
I know, right?
You put on a good show.
Yeah. The top category, it got a giggle out of us initially. Happy Ohtani's gone. For one fella near and dear to me and BBD's heart, a reminder, he is playing center fielder for at least half the season, and he did when he broke the home run record. That'll be all of our old man. And did you hear this? When Judge
that
did
was
it.
Was the first year he played center
he
field.
He was playing center field. Aaron Judge
yeah.
is the Yankee center fielder.
Scary.
Insane. I don't know if he...
not a lot of guys transition to center field yeah. in their 30s.
We're listed 6'7", 282. Aaron Judge has one of the arguments for the best player in baseball. after you kind of get past Ohtani. So now that Ohtani is in the National League, the AL MVP is wide open. Judge beat him for that once. A little easier path. If Aaron Judge puts on an Aaron Judge season, he could, I don't want to say run uncontested, because that's not how it works, but maybe the guy that if he's healthy for 150 games, statistically can contest him. Ohtani's former teammate, Michael, what's his middle name?
Nelson.
Michael Erman. Nelson Trout?
Michael yeah. Erman okay. Trout.
I guess that's why it doesn't get brought up. Jolly, you've sneakily been driving the Trout bus around the office lately. You want to cook a little bit?
People are being mean to Mike Trout. I don't get it, man. I get injuries. I understand 36 games in 21, 82 games last year. Stay on the field. But it's Mike Trout, man.
Mike Trout.
I know. I just said this on Talking Baseball. I sprinkled him for MVP. Odds are crazy. And I got laughed at yeah. on Twitter. I don't get it because even when he's been, quote unquote, injury prone, the numbers have been absurd, otherworldly. And Jake, I told you that you have a special talent for naming these tiers. Every time we meet up to Oops. Discuss what the tiers are, it's 90% you. Happy that Ohtani's gone is perfect. There's no more pressure of, they have Trout and Ohtani on the same team. They got to be in the playoff World Series, whatever. Mike Trout can go back to be Mike Trout, captain of this team. I just need to see him play 120 games, which I think he's fully capable of because he's not some old man. He's going to be 32 years old, and he still could win MVP. So I think Judge and Trout at the top here is perfect because, as I alluded to before, it's a top-heavy list. this is the top of it. There's three other guys that I think we'll talk about as part of that top heaviness. But when you think of center field, you think of Mike Trout. At least I do.
Interesting. Right? Yeah, I know he's been playing a little more corners, and they have some outfield options, but Mike Trout, A, can still go and get it in center field. Like, those things might be more trying to keep him healthy, slash, I don't know, using whatever assets you have in Anaheim. And yeah, the bar got set so high with Mike Trout.
Right.
And because they were never successful as a team, Mike Trout never had that 880 OPS year, but it's like, hey, the Angels won 92 games and Trout's playing great ball. Like, the Mike Trout expectation is an OPS, a one dot.
Yeah, which is like a crazy standard.
That I know he's had the injury bug, and it's a little scary. You know, he's on a different side of 30 now. But he can quench or quelch all of that.
Quell.
With a 150-game season.
Quelch.
And then it's over.
Yeah. The only thing, he hasn't played 140 games since 2018, which is tough. That's a tough stat. It's tough.
It is tough.
Looking at the baseball reference, just the amount of bold pre- and post-pandemic is, it's just it's sticking out to me.
But like,
he was like bold everything. Hasn't been any bold.
40 homers in 119 games in 2022. What's that pace? That pace is like a 55-homer season.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of homers, dude.
That's a lot. He finished eighth in the MVP that year in 119 games. So, yeah, if Trouter can roll 135 out there, he could be in MVP contention. And you can say the same thing with Aaron Judge.
Yes, you can.
I mean, what he did in a limited sample size last year. Were you saying, Beeps?
Some DH opportunities, I think, have opened up for him. Maybe that preserves him a little bit. Seen the Yankees play that game. Maybe that works.
Aaron Judge in 106 games, 37 homers last year. He's easily one-dotted the past two seasons. They are the top of the center field list. Couple fan bases just got mad because they think their guy should probably be up there. We'll circle back to them in a second, but first, you need to circle up with the DraftKings sports book. It's that time of year. We're starting to get, the calendar just turned to March. And for a lot of college basketball fans, that means something. For a lot of NBA fans, it means something. I was watching, what game was I watching last night? The boys were playing hard. I think Phoenix, Denver. That was, NBA starts to kick into a different gear, and at the DraftKings Sportsbook, if you use code BAKERS, you can get a bonus bet back of up to $1,000 if your original bet doesn't hit. So think about that. OG bet, OG. Your OG bet hits, boom, you just won. That's pretty nice. Your bet doesn't hit, you get a bonus bet of that same amount back with code BAKERS. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code BAKERS only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Link in the description. All right. Before we get to those promised princes, this is probably the part of the program. I was going to check off some of the other ones, but we'll do that when we're more panicky. Let's do $100 million mystery box, because that's probably the most fun category that we kind of stumbled into. Because again, what we're dealing with here, center field is a premier position. If you can get good center field play, that's going to put you ahead of a lot of teams, because to find someone who plays defense and offense, and then they do that at a high level, you're going to have to pay for that. And we had a couple guys who have gotten paid for that we don't know where we're going to get. So who do you like in this row, Joe?
I mean, the interesting thing about these players that fit here is that they a little... I know baseball's a team sport, but they a little bit determine the trajectory of their team in 2024. Because If Jung-Hoo Lee is the guy that the Giants paid $100 million for, and he's been hitting balls hard in spring training, I feel a lot differently about the San Francisco Giants this year because they're kind of a hodgepodge of offensive pieces, but there's no real guy. And the cool thing about a mystery box is that it could be anything. And Jung-Hoo Lee could be the guy. And that's what they're paying him to be. So I'm really interested to see a full season from him. There's power concerns. That's how many stolen bases can he get in the major league standard? What does the defense really look like in a tough Oracle Park field to play on? A lot of ground
that's
to cover.
That's a huge factor. Mm.
But the one thing you kind of know you're getting with Jung-Hoo Lee is that he's this contact specialist that you can put anyone in front of him and he can slap the ball wherever he wants to. And that could prove to be huge. So I'm really curious to see what they get out of him. I think he fits perfectly in this box because while he is a lefty, I don't think we can put him with Bellies and Friedels because you have to see it first. And even if it is that one season, that moves him up a tier for me. So I think he fits perfectly here. Jung-Hoo Lee, for $100 million, let's see what you got.
The defense is super interesting. Like, we kind of think we know some sort of offensive profile, and maybe he runs into a couple more homers. Maybe his contact bat is a little less special. Maybe it's a little more special. Like we're going to figure out what Jung-Hoo Lee is offensively, and people are pretty confident it's going to click. If it doesn't, we'll circle back on that. The defense, no one's really talked about, and I don't get it. I guess they talked about it not confidently. That is a big boy center field. There's a lot of ground to cover out there. There's
a
ballpark with some quirks.
It's a triples alley. If he can go and get it, which, again, there's some reports he can, some he can't, which it's bizarre we can't scout that just a little better. If he can go and get it in center field and do anything offensively, you can get close to the $100 million value, especially in that ballpark. They think he's going to bring something offensively. And if he can get it defensively, I guess where it gets fun is, like, we had that category of four WAR second baseman. If he can be, he's going to do something offensively and play good defense, he can be like a four WAR caliber player.
He kind of needs to be.
They're looking for him to, like, carry the offense. And if he can, he'll become one of my favorite players in baseball. A slappy 300 hitting center fielder. That speaks to me. But right now, we don't know. Giants fans don't know. Let's find out. Another 100 milli on the nose. Byron Buxton. Mm. This guy, it's... How do you say this the right way at this point? The baseball reference page makes me sad. It just straight up does. And going through last season, if Byron Buxton was on the field, he was contributing in a big way. 2019 through 2020, so that's 4 years.
2022.
2022, excuse me. 874 OPS. A 136 OPS plus. He was mauling. Per 162, he was on a 41 homer pace. With
Jesus.
18 steals.
Yeah.
With
40 doubles.
Probably more ability to steal. With the ability to cover more ground in center field than anybody else. Because he was a freak show. My guy doesn't play the games. Last year, he played 85. That was his second highest total going back to 2019. He's only played 100 games in a season once. I've watched Byron Buxton play since 2015.
It's 10 years, Jake.
He DH'd a lot last year. Supposedly this year, he's playing center field. I don't know. I mean, there's a big chance this category... There's a good chance this category this year will be the highest he gets on a center field list again. And that feels like a disservice to baseball.
It feels gross, Jake. I mean, he was the consensus number one prospect in baseball for 3 years in a row from 14 to 16. Who's number one right now is Jackson Holliday. I think we all kind of expect him to be really good.
Sure. Mm.
At one point, we all expected Byron Buxton to be one of the best players in baseball. for a time, especially in 2021, he was. And we just said, you know, Mike Trout hasn't played 140 games since 2018. You can butter knife it that way for boxing. He hasn't played 140 since 2017. It's just all the seasons after 2017 are not even close to that benchmark. And I don't think necessarily it will change this year. It's just the Twins get so much more fun offensively when he's there. They had 12 people hit more than 10 home runs last year. Buxton wasn't even, I know he was one of them, but I'm saying there's so much more capability with him. It sucks that he's a DH now, kind of. You have to think of him that way a little bit. When he's proven to be such a superb freak athlete that we know can do all these things. So I'm just hoping that we at least, give me one more year. Give me 1 year in this contract.
He can.
He can. Because that can really take the Twins to a new ceiling, man. That's what they were envisioning when they signed that contract. It's just, I have a hard time seeing it.
Fangraphs has it slotted in as a center fielder, which they're gonna get him days off. They have him playing, getting 539 plate appearances, which again, it's a projection, right. And it's hopeful. If he does that, they project him for 29 homers and 11 stolen bases, 488 slugging, from a center fielder that, if he's also healthy, can track down balls with the best in center field. I don't know. It's you can tell by the twinge in my voice that I got burnt by him. He was my MVP sprinkle 1 year just because I was like, well, I don't know. If it happens, if right. He plays a .140, he's got a chance and leads the Twins to the playoffs and other things fall apart. I think that window is long gone and was probably gone then, that they're probably looking for 100, and that's crazy.
Twins, man. It's
looking for 100?
Buxton, Correa, Royce Lewis. If all three of them play.
Eddie Giuliani.
If all three of them play 130 games, scary team in the American League.
There's a French pastry place near me that's named Julien something that I need to take a picture of at some point.
No free ads.
Because Trev claims to be French. He claims the Twins, and he claims Eddie Julien. That, I don't know. It's just a powerful combination.
Mm. He'll be here.
Is there another 100 mil center fielder? In my head, there was.
Yeah, we have a third.
Who is it, Biebs?
Jackson Churio.
That's
haven't
right.
debuted yet, but they gave you a bag. I think technically it is short of 100 million, but close enough.
How much is
I
it?
I think with escalators.
I think escalators can get above. I tried to find the exact maximum number, but let's I think he's out. Promised 88.
82 is what I have here. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
And that's by the Brewers, man.
Yeah.
Like that's
just,
a team.
They just traded the last year of Corbin Burns. They're a team that doesn't spend if they don't have to. Like if they don't see the value in that.
So the total value of the contract, if the club options in 32 and 33 are exercised at $25 million apiece, by the way.
Okay, so that guess
could be 10 years, $142.5 million. If there's one thing I know about the Brewers, is that they're pretty good at scouting talent that other teams might not see. And this talent, of course, is in their own organization, top 10 prospect forever. What are we going to see out of 20-year-old Jackson Churio in his first year?
In the minors last year, 128 games, he had 22 homers and 44 swipes and 805 OPS.
Like that?
Yeah, I mean, hey, this guy is a legit top five prospect. The Brewers rolled out the bag. It's got everything listed that you think this is going to be something good. I think the question is what's that mean in the first year? I'm sure there will be some growing pains. Is he still 19?
Yeah, I think he's going to turn 20. He turns 20 in 5 days.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Happy early birthday, Jackson. I'm a lot older than you. that stinks.
311.
Yeah, this guy probably has the chance to be the biggest riser on the board for next year. Let's find out. Because he could also be a somewhat of a question mark next year. And the fact that he's with Buxton, Jung-Hoo Lee, man, that's going to be a fun one to look back at. Hey, if that kid balls out, that changes Milwaukee's all
similar
whole
to
lookout.
Lee, right?
And the fact that they gave him that money means they really believe. So, hello, the 100 mil mystery box.
Fun group.
Spin the wheel. Who do you like? If you had to have one of those guys for this upcoming season, who would you take?
I think it's the guy we just talked about. I think it's Chirio.
Yeah, you're going with the kid?
Youth, like, can play multiple positions, stolen base factor. I think there's less... This might be crazy. I think there's less question marks about him than I have about Jung-Hoo Lee.
Beeps?
I think he's my answer, too, just because Buxton, he has to prove to me he can play 100 games. Chirio, I don't have those question marks yet. And if we're choosing between the two guys who haven't played a major league game yet, I am less concerned about Churio's translation than Lee. Like, there's just a chance that that doesn't translate in year one.
Yeah.
Buxton, biggest injury risk, otherwise best player.
Yes.
I don't think that's an argument.
Yeah. Well, the numbers last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's see.
Might have been hurt.
Chirio, uber prospect, kid. Let's see. Jung-Hoo Lee comes from overseas. I'd probably sprinkle on Jung-Hoo Lee just because I think he's already been a professional.
He is the biggest mystery box.
He's gonna get the opportunity. Buxton kind of rules himself out via injury, so you're giving me 19, soon to be 20-year-old, or a guy who's like been a pro and has done it at some I don't know.
Yeah, there's...
I don't know. Flip the coin.
For how much like it hurts each team, if Buxton's all the way good, that does change the Twins' season, but I think there's enough... Their season doesn't, like, fall apart if Buxton doesn't play
him.
Enough.
They
play
around him.
Their floor is set.
Giants are banking on Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yes. Jung-Hoo Lee in year one of this deal, yeah. Jung-Hoo Lee is bad. Their franchise is in a scary spot. And he, of course, can continue to develop. We've seen a few Korean players come from the KBO. And over their first 3 years in the show, you learn to figure it out. He will have some runway. But Chirio... 20 years old. Like, if he's not amazing next year, they have that locked up. He's so young.
He will have holes in his game.
He will have tough months.
He doesn't. My God. But
can't drink after a bad game.
Been there. Go baggage. let's...
I think we go down.
Yeah, it's time to go down. And I think it's time to go and get it.
Okay.
It's time to go and get it. This is pretty simple. Played some ball. Once you see the first person that can go and get it, kind of a fun thing. And there's a lot of major league center fielders that their job is to go and get it. I think we start rattling off because these are guys we don't want to get super caught up in. Yankee Met. How about Harrison Bader? Harrison Bader can go out and get it. Can hit lefties, Jolly, we think.
We know.
He's had years of the opposite splits.
It's true. It's kind
of
weird.
His year-by-year splits are fascinating. Overall, he ends up in a similar production every year.
$100 million mystery box ways. For Bader, maybe?
NL.
In May, he was in that category.
If he had put together a season, baseball can be wild. How about Brenton Doyle from your Rockies?
Gold glove? Jack's brother. They look alike, too.
Gold in that glove?
He's got my old facial hair.
That's a massive, another massive center field, by the way. And something I've yelled at the Rockies at. Control what you can control at Coors Field. Know what you can control? Speed and defense.
Mm.
So go have good defense.
Jake.
Anyways.
How much money to name your first kid Brenton?
None.
No value?
You're fine with Brenton.
$1 million.
Oh, to name your kid Brenton. I guess this is interesting. Because, yeah, Jess can,
it's not
Jess can be won over with money. That's just a fact.
Jake.
Mil, no, that's lifetime.
$5 million?
You know, that changes
that
the
changes
course.
Your
college is taken care
Brenton?
Of.
Brenton.
It's a B.
Not Brandon. Brenton.
Maybe $2 million.
Okay. Shake on it.
$1 million's a little light.
If I find that money.
$2 million. You figure out a good middle name for an initial.
If I win the lottery, I'm spending on that.
What's up, B? who else goes?
Johan Rojas.
Goes and gets it. Johan Rojas.
He's
for
fun
your
to
Phillies.
Watch.
Could, in the playoffs, got a little bit exposed hitting-wise, although his regular season stats were nice.
Yeah.
Could climb this list for next year, but right now his job is goes and gets it. And remember, what was that ball? He went out and got Kimbrel, I think, gave one up, and he went and he got it.
They got a cool tandem with him and Pache, where they both like kind of hit, and they also go and get it.
Marsh can slide over if they need. You'd say Mild Flaws goes and gets it, right? Or does he just go?
No, he gets it.
He gets it, he gets right? It.
That's like his whole thing.
Yeah, the Guardians.
He better be getting it. I'm going to look at this.
Oh!
Nah, 2.3 D war in 2022. That's like really hard to do.
Oh, fighting Yankee fans. Oh, yeah, we fight back.
Oh, yeah, you guys have beef. It's the stupidest beef of all time.
Yeah, he goes and gets it.
Know who else goes and gets it and has gone and gotten it? Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah.
That guy goes and gets it. Hit a chunk last
year. Five hitter for an AL East team right now.
There's some platoon splits you like.
If sneaky veteran Kevin Kiermaier hits a little more, tricking these young pitchers, I'm into it.
And we were thinking a lot about him as the Yankee center fielder. Get him around that porch.
He might have to go up. I don't know.
It's interesting.
There's a chance he goes up.
I'm not going to list him as of right now.
It's interesting.
I'm putting him on there for now.
I guess the thing that would hurt me.
He's at least a goes and gets.
He was four WAR last year.
He's awesome.
If Kevin Kiermaier had a 670 OPS this year, would you be surprised?
No. It was a 104 OPS plus bat last year.
I know.
That was hot than cold stuff.
But wasn't that also, I don't want to say outlier, but.
A little bit of an outlier.
649 the year before.
That's Butter Knife for the last 3 years. Let's have fun.
A little bit of every other year stuff.
Last 3 years, 100 OPS plus. How about that?
On the nose. Okay. I'll leave a little piece of my heart open.
We'll talk.
At some point, he's got to get old, right?
Anyways.
Gold Glove last year.
One dot in May doing some heavy lifting.
Victor Robles, and that's obvious.
Okay.
Just put him there.
What's happened to him that the whole team just left?
Top prospect. Yeah. Never really got the back.
He
going.
Still catches it, though.
He plays the games, and he catches it.
Savant.
It was kind of nice last year. Didn't play the games.
He's thinking
last
about
year.
Calling you out.
Didn't play the games
I,
last year.
I would still say he goes and gets it, but because I can't say he goes.
Okay. No, he doesn't go, so he kind of has to be
here.
Nats need something.
I think Alec Thomas. Or is he higher?
Oh, I don't know.
If we didn't see him in the postseason, what would you say looking at those baseball references?
I think of that homer, and I get excited. That's he goes and gets it.
75 OPS plus the last 2 years.
But his swing looks like Corbin Carroll's.
It sure does. And I think there's more in there, but even if there's more in there, we're talking about a 95 OPS plus player.
Yeah, you are. Which is tough.
He goes and gets it.
Who is the Royal center fielder? Who is that?
Isbell?
Kyle Isbell.
You're lying. You made that up.
Yeah.
You took a second, you thought of a fake name, and you made it up.
It literally could be an elaborate Kansas City prank.
They got you in center field.
Let's see if they... I wish. Should have seen me go and get it back in
the day.
Cost
$2 million.
The scene. Alec Thomas, you go and get it. Does Isbell get it? I have no clue.
My understanding is Isbell gets it.
9 for 15 on stolen bases in 2022. Not good.
Great.
Sorry, Kyle. I didn't mean to.
Jake Myers goes and gets it?
Yeah. Are they excited about him? Is there a...
Kyle Isbell goes and gets it.
Let's go.
Is there room to grow for Myers? What was he ranked? 13th round pick. Never top 100 prospect. He's a glove guy. Doesn't really go.
It's
got your name.
He goes, but he gets it.
So who goes and doesn't get it, Charlie? Because this is, A, you got a grin on your face.
It's
just two guys down there?
Well, I have one for sure. Okay. It's the guy that like was shattering stolen base records, and everyone was like, oh, yeah.
Estuary.
He stole 67 bases last year, 67 for 80. How about that? Nice round number. Hit 254 like that.
Sure.
He goes. Not sure about his defense. I'm sure there is some good defense in there, but he's the definition of the steer. He goes. That's what he does.
He goes.
If Terrence Gore was here, he'd be there. If Gerard Dyson was here, he'd be there.
That is interesting. If you gave all the classic speedsters a full season in Oakland, kind of what do their stats look like? I don't know.
Yeah.
Jake, two choices to name your
Oakland's going to be mad at you, bro. Do you know that?
Estuary or Brenton?
a Sturry story.
It's kind of sick, right?
Might be in play. 2 million?
500K.
Man, this... Let's finish off the bottom. Jose Azucar, he goes, we think.
I mean, no slack on him. I'm hoping the Padres sign some outfielders so that he can be kind of a utility guy. Because right now he's the starting center fielder for a team that was in the NLCS in 2022, which is crazy. Yeah. He's 13 for 21 in his career stolen bases.
Not great.
It's not good.
Hey, I think there's only one more name on the list that I don't feel super comfy currently placing. Parker Meadows?
I was looking at him and trying to figure out where I like him.
What's he about?
I mean, he's supposed to be batting like leadoff for them.
Is he related to Austin?
Yeah.
Yes, they're brothers.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's a legit prospect. I don't know if he leans on defense. I don't know if he leans on offense.
He's got some speed and D for sure.
I think he just unfortunately falls here.
Yeah.
Goes and gets it.
I think it's just a goes and gets it, and we hope everyone just ignores it in the graphics.
Don't know enough about him.
Yeah. There's a chance to elevate beyond this year. He had a close to approaching league average season.
I could see it.
Okay.
700 OPS in 37 games. Let's see a full year.
Go Tigers.
For now, I think you go and get it.
Go Tigers.
I think that close goes and gets it for now. A lot of names to check off there.
10?
If you got something hot there, let me know. Let's go to Promise Princes. This is our second tier. This is right below S tier. And I think we've got a grouping of three of, in theory, this could be Judge and Trout's last year as center fielders. Judge isn't even supposed to be playing this year if Dominguez isn't hurt. Trouter, if Moniak or just Father Time another year, he could be doing the George Springer head to right field. These are the promised princes of center field. I think the one with a fan base that's rowdy that probably thinks he should be S tier, that's mad we haven't just said his name yet, Julio Rodriguez. He is the prince who's promised.
Yeah.
What was that, Jolly?
Shohei Ohtani had a 1,200 OPS against the Mariners last year.
Okay.
Don't you think Julio's a little happy that he's gone?
Oh.
I don't know, man. It's J-Rod.
Fuck.
So you're already messing this up.
We did this one yesterday. No.
Yeah, I'm messing this up a little bit. There's a vision.
He is happy he's gone.
If Julio won MVP this year, how shocked are you?
I'm not shocked.
Fourth in MVP last year.
He went from seventh as a rookie to fourth in his second year at age 22. I see that.
23 years old.
It's an interesting conversation.
I think I'm here because of the other two names in this tier, because I would so clearly prefer J-Rod over them.
Okay, well then let's lay it out. Let's lay it out, and if we need
right.
to. I think another fan base that's just not as loud right now that would be loud for this guy is Luis Robert.
Right.
Put up a massive year last year. A prince who was promised. Last year was kind of the year it was like, hey, it's go time or don't go. And he went.
Yes.
He was just surrounded by poo-poo. The other guy wasn't promised too much. Just like, oh, we have another guy that happens to be local and he happens to be one of the best at his position. Plays as good a defense as anyone. OPS ended up in the eights.
Yes, it did.
And he had a crazy slow start. So the fact he did is pretty nuts. Michael Harris, too.
Yeah. I mean, Harris completely skipped AAA, came up and was a sensation in Atlanta. People forget, he was the fuel in the tank that made the 2022 Braves go. Because they weren't really going until he got there, and then they became otherworldly. And Luis Robert, it was kind of like, when's he going to be healthy? When's he going to play a full season? He finally did last year, and he was indeed Cuban Trout. 38 homers, 20 swipes, all the good stuff you'd like to see. But, like, I still prefer Julio Rodriguez in a landslide, man. It's, like, not even close in my brain. Maybe it's name value. Maybe it's the fact that he's, you know, clearly the best player on his team adds to it.
Okay, so I guess...
Let's chat.
Roles there.
I want to keep it within these three for now.
Yes.
Because those other two have a lot of stats tied to them.
They do.
Julio Rodriguez. His OPS last year, 818, a 128 OPS plus. The year before that, I think it was a little higher, 853 OPS, 147 OPS plus. So more games the following year. Things tick down slightly, plays great defense. You know, you're currently putting Julio on a different pedestal.
I am.
Okay. Michael Harris, Braves. He, 853 OPS 2022, 808 last year. Plays as good of a defense. I think defense... This is kind of a draw defensively, right?
A little bit, yeah. All these guys can go and get
like,
it.
Like, I think if we're going highlights, I think it's Michael Harris, too,
it's Harris.
Wins.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking all-around defense over a season, Julio, and Harris, I think they're all in the same.
They're giving me the same feeling in center field as one another overall.
So, with defense out, we're heading further into offense. I think Julio wears the weight of his team offensively a lot more.
Yes.
Michael Harris, too, had the ability to get slid down the lineup last year when he was struggling
He's
early.
He's like ninth.
Went nuts, and then they were like, hey, maybe we should bring this guy up. He's right. Going so nuts. You know, just for some splits, for some funsies. Michael Harris, too, in the second half last year, 325, 356, 878 OPS. 71 games, he went. Luis Robert Jr., he had a 5-4 season.
Yeah.
He hit 38 homers. He hit a 128 OPS plus. 12th in the MVP, which is a little funny because I do think team success came in there.
A little bit.
How different is his years than Julio's last year?
Right.
That I don't know if Luis Robert and Julio should be judged on very different scales.
Mm-hmm. Two full seasons is big for me. He's now done it twice. That matters.
Sure.
We had that whole conversation with Buxton and Trout and all those guys.
Yeah.
Julio's home ballpark literally drives people away from the city. And he has an 860 OPS there in his career so far. The fact that it's not affecting him is huge for me. Like, if you put Julio in Great American Ballpark or... I don't know, Fenway, anything like that. Like, how crazier do his numbers get? Because I think they go into 900 OPS pretty easily. That's a factor for me. The fact that when he went last year, his team went, like, when they caught fire and took the lead in the division in August, that was when Julio was at his best.
Sure.
Matters to me. I think the biggest thing in Julio's way, and if I am going to cave, it is going to be because of this. He gets off to a slow start every year. Got a 665 career OPS in April, and pretty much both years, it tanked his year-end stats. But I really like guys that get a fire under them when it counts the most. And his OPS in August for his career, sure. 991, in September, 934. Like, he shows up when the games are the most intense. So I think it's a little bit of, I would love to see it one more year. And, like, if he goes 40-40 this year, I'm not surprised. He went 32-37 last year. He's going to be 23 years old. I'm okay with either outcome. I think you guys are both leaning a little bit A tier over S tier just because of legacy, because of resume. But I do think he fits up there. And I wanted it to be known to the Seattle fans listening that I went to bat for him.
I could be talked into either way. I will. The April things are a concern, but there's been players in baseball that April's not been their month. They've been slow starters. Although I did a little Mark Teixeira career month-by-month splits, his Aprils weren't that bad. Was below an 800 OPS.
Okay.
Anyway, it's still early, all that. I would rather he be a guy building up and getting better as the season goes along than him be a guy who Luis Robert in his career, his worst month is September. You know, a couple more years of sample there. Like, I'd rather you be a guy that's building up and gets better as the season goes, as games matter more, than be a guy who I'm sitting here having concerns about, like, oh, can you last a full year? Because there's some guys who are like, you fall apart a little bit. You hit a wall.
The Julio Rodriguez, and you mentioned April. Also, June is his second lowest month. That his first half, so it's two seasons, and this was part of your argument about putting together full seasons.
Totally.
Which also the Mariners have been kind of chasing in their division. In the first half, 178 games of the 2 years of Julio Rodriguez, 262, 323, a 766 OPS. For center field, again, that's fine, and you do have to combine
with the defense
the whole
he's
season.
Doing. Like that isn't a bad player by any means.
109 games in the second half, 306, 362, and 939 OPS. I guess for me, if you swapped Luis Robert and Julio, I don't know if Seattle's expectations change.
That's fair. They are similar players, five-tool caliber ceiling. I just think I see Julio going higher.
I think you're right. I think if you had...
I think I'm a year ahead of schedule.
I think Julio is 2 years younger than Luis Robert.
I think.
Or three.
Think so.
That's nuts.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, you have age with you. I think it's three.
Yeah, he's three. He's going to be 23.
So
Robert
he's
be
three,
26.
3 years younger. You know, 23? The stadium argument, I get that as well.
I'm willing to admit I'm a year ahead, but I believe it. That's what I'll say.
But honestly, a thing that's swaying me more than it should, he is stoked Ohtani's gone.
He's super happy Ohtani is gone. He might be the best player in the
world. Anyone care about the Angels?
Angels and Mariners had a weird beef. They've kind of had one. They don't like each other. I think he's pretty happy.
Would you rather have Trout or Julio for the 2024 season?
Good question. Do I know if Trout's healthy?
I don't think you do.
Then I think I want Julio. I don't know.
I think in my heart of hearts, if you said you get one player for the 24 season, I would take Julio over Trout.
So what does that
mean?
If you promised health,
I don't think
it changes.
It's a discussion.
Yeah, it's Trout. What a deal.
For some reason, it kind of feels like Luis Robert doesn't deserve to be up there, while Julio does. I was very close to convincing myself that Julio should be up there. I think I need one more year.
Okay.
Because the other thing, if Julio first halves it again, that's a problem.
That's a thing.
It's a recurring theme.
That's a problem.
No, I agree. 100%. And it's kind of killed the Mariners.
Because for half your season, the guy that is your anchor and your team banks on so much, you now look at as like a league average hitter.
For 3 months.
You're going to spend half the year saying, like, well, second half, Julio's coming.
Where if I have Trout or Judgy out there, you're basically getting a one-dot month.
Yeah.
800 OPS for them is a bad month. Think about how silly that is.
Mm.
So I don't know. This list could come back, and we could be like, oh, these are good tier lists from 2021, dude. Julio, I want to be wrong. How about that?
If the show is called Wake and Jolly, you're overridden, but it's called Wake and Jake.
And if Luis Robert takes a baby step,
stop.
He could have a better year.
Two full seasons.
I am fine with the list being where it's at.
I think I
do. I'll give one last talk for the Julio crowd. Just Mike Trout, of course, limited action, hurt, whatever. Mm. Last year's the first year that like the stat line just isn't special.
Right.
He's still of course good. He's still right. Mike fucking Trout, but the defensive metrics show a lost step. He's over 30. That happens. That Julio hasn't done yet, and last year's the first year the Trout numbers aren't special. They still on the whole clear Julio, but
yep,
first year that statistically Mike Trout wasn't Mike Trout.
I'm just, I guess I'm just, I'm mentally changing. Luis Robert in my head doesn't feel like the top line. If we switch their uniforms, I think we're arguing for Luis Robert over Julio.
I really do think Luis Robert's health is a big reason why his team fell apart. That is what I kind of hold against him, which is unfair because he can't control that.
Right.
But if he is healthy all of 2021, I think the White Sox have a better run than they did. And if he's healthy in 2022, I don't think things completely derail in the way that they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whereas if Julio is hurt in 2022, I don't think there's any chance the Mariners make the playoffs. It was just too competitive. Like, they barely made it as is. And in the same vein, if he was good in the first half last year, I think they pick up a few more wins and maybe they get one of those wild card spots. So you can play that game. It's tough.
I'm going to sit on it a little longer.
Stew.
There's some Stew. Tiers to fill out and we can
Yeah, why don't we
back.
Do, let's do some grunt work, huh?
Because there's, yeah. there's,
I have six guys left down there.
I have six left. There's really one last tier, the new music tier. Another fun one to wine them and dine them with. And this does, and we should just start with it, new music. It starts with Jazz Chisholm, and you go, okay, I understand that. But basically, this whole grouping was started on the foundation of these guys have an argument to be better than Jazz Chisholm, and in a way, Jazz Chisholm needs to be better than Jazz Chisholm's been. And he's talked a lot of the talk. He was on the show cover, shouldn't penalize him for that. Go get the bag and do your thing. But in hindsight, like, I've heard a lot of jokes around the office. Why was Jazz Chisholm on the cover of MLB The Show? Partially because his name is Jazz and he plays with swag. Jazz Chisholm needs to be better. He needs to be better.
It's be on the field and better.
And if we're being honest, I think almost all of these guys have an argument coming up that they've been better than Jazz Chisholm or were better than Jazz Chisholm recently. Of the remaining five, who jumps out to you, Joel? Right?
If we're talking, like, character-wise, like, who gives me that same vibe as Jazz? I think it's the other Florida guy. I think Jose Siri.
Okay.
He's got a little fuck you to him. I like watching Jose Siri play. I like watching him bat flip. I think that it's absolutely gross that the Rays just, like, unlocked him. Imagine if he was an Astro still.
Try not to.
That'd be insane. 25 homers last year, 12 swipes, good D in center. Kind of all you can ask for out of the Rays right now. Like, that's all they kind of need. They don't need him to be the star because their other gross reclamation projects have done that work, and Yanni Diaz and Isak. But he could be better. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jose Siri, who's going to be 28 years old next year, improves upon his game. And right now, I think we should play this game with everyone that's in this category. Who would you rather have?
Siri or Jazz?
Siri or Jazz. Because I think I would prefer Siri. Is that crazy?
It's a little bit. Siri doesn't have a lot of history. Like, basically, you're playing the unlocked, it happened last year. We could also look back at last year as like a whoa. Like, Jose Siri popped 25 one year? What was that? Maybe there's more. I don't know. I guess for me with Jazz.
Let's do a little comparison. I'm curious.
Jazz the past.
Siri's reverse splits freak me out, but.
Oh, he has those?
Jazz has, while he's been on the field, he's given me a pretty steady dose of power and speed. And he should be getting better in center field. He has all the tools for it.
Last year was like a first taste.
Jose Siri could very much be an outlier, and we look back and we're like, what was that? I'm not saying it is.
No, yeah, I get that.
But when Jazz Chisholm does play, I kind of know what I'm going to get. Where Jose Siri, I can't say that yet.
They played a similar Siri amount of games last year.
Could be goes and gets it pretty quickly.
That's true. But also, I believe in the Rays lab.
Good.
Like I do. Like, you kind of have to, you know? But
the year-to-year, you know, I could see his baseball reference page aging a lot like what Kevin Kiermaier's looks like, who had an awesome year. Like, he's good.
I think he is the closest to Jazz in this tier of like
who'd you pick?
Who I would pick to maybe take over Jazz. The other four names I see, I like for different reasons. Where do you want to go next?
Keep going. Stay hot.
Jack Sawinski?
Yeah.
He's the one that sticks out to me the most of
Pirates fans hate him. Group. I don't understand why.
They do?
At least the ones I interact with, they really... I think it's like a consistency thing.
Who are you interacting with, Bob?
All right. Relax.
You're big on Pirate Twitter?
I like the Pirates.
Uncle no Ray. Idea.
Good six hitters there.
So we did, I think, a month or so in last year, we did an episode with Foolish Bailey. Oh. Maybe familiar. And we were looking at kind of some of the breakout players and if we believe it or not. It was a lot. It was James Outman. Mm. It was Luke Raley, I believe. And Jack Sawinski was on there and hand up. And, you know, some people listening probably know. I didn't realize he was really playing center field. I didn't realize that Baseball Savant has a lot of likable stuff on it. Athletically and power-wise. Jack Sawinski last year, 26 homers, 13 swipes, a 339 on a 793 OPS last year. Like, Jack Sawinski is another step away. He's 25 years old. Mm. If he takes another step up, which he improved from 22 to 23, if he does that again, this guy would be in lovable lefties.
I got a big thing.
Likeable.
Likeable. On July 6th, 2021, the San Diego Padres traded Jack Sawinski to the Pirates for Adam Frazier, who we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, barrel percentage, 94%. Chase percentage, 96%. Yeah. Walk percentage, 94%.
75 walks last year.
OAA, 80th percentile.
A lot to like. Who would you rather have
Sprint
right now?
Sprint speed, 81. I would take Sawinski over the other two.
Maybe. I think you might be selling me a little bit.
Lefty, power, chance to continually be getting better.
It's kind of crazy.
I know. I guess maybe I'm a Sawinski Hive guy. Oh, my goodness. Pirates fans, if you do hate him, I guess let me know.
Let us know what that's about.
I'll stop driving the bus.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm just with all of the guys that I think are landing in this tier, with the exception of Jose Siri, who's right-handed, if they start playing some new music and are better than Jazz, easily can be a likable lefty with one more like fully good year.
Yeah,
I'm just
that's
excited about all of them.
I was gonna sort it because I see a lefty and a couple switches. Jaron Duran.
Yeah,
I mean that dude was leading the way for that Boston lineup. Still ain't been the problem. 828 OPS last year. I know. Jeez. Ballpark stuff.
No, but still.
121 OPS plus, 24 stolen bases. The guy is lightning fast. It looks like a light bulb just went off last year. He only played 102 games, but 295, like 3-4. It was all there for Jaron Duran that, you know, a lot of Red Sox fans gave up on him. And in his age 26 season, it looked like the light bulb went off. So, yeah, he's another season away from likable lefty.
Yeah, I think I hold Fenway a little bit against him. 910 OPS at Fenway, 748 everywhere else last year. Okay. 748 is still good. Right. Like, you like that at your center fielder, especially a fast one. Would like to see him play against lefties more. Kind of a platoon guy right now. 313 plate appearances against righties, 49 against lefties. I think the Red Sox were a little scared of it, too. But this might be a good year for him because, like, unfortunately, things have happened where the Red Sox are adjusting their expectations. Maybe just go out there with not a ton of expectations and have a great year in center field because, like we've seen, there's a lot of money to be made from playing a good center field and hitting well. And Jaron Duran, I think, has that ceiling.
And speaking of, the final two guys on this list, switch hitters, one team. These teams sprinted in opposite directions last year. Ships passing in the night.
Toss some stuff over to the other side.
Yeah, hey, take this. Leodis Tavares, the switch hitter, kind of in the bottom of that Texas lineup, casually being a plus offensive player while doing his thing in the outfield while being a switch hitter, which I do value. And then this one is so disgusting.
Why is he here?
The St. Louis Cardinals, for years, who have had too many outfielders, now are putting their premier glove middle infielder in center field, Tommy Edman. He's had high and low years at the plate. They've actually all leveled out more than you think.
And technically, the guy on our graphic is Dylan Carlson because Edman's hurt.
Oh, that is
Dylan Carlson.
They've got all their outfielders are kind of in the same crew. Lars Nootbaar, I'm sure, is getting some center field days.
Lars, you're great. I'm into Lars, even though some Cardinals fans aren't. I don't know. Both are switch hitters. If Liotis does it for another year, or if he takes a step up, which he can, again, at center field, what he provides, that's an extremely valuable baseball player. And yeah, whatever Cardinal you put out there, I don't even know at this point.
I mean, Edmund's fun because he's the same thing as Jazz. Played a good second base and they moved him to center field, which is, you know, you don't see that often. Yeah, man, I don't know. Liotis is cool because he had some postseason moments. He gets a little Alec Thomas-y for me because I remember his postseason more than I remember his regular season. Although I think he is better than Alec Thomas for sure. Again, gets to hide in that really potent Rangers lineup. That's nice.
Yeah.
Tommy Edman, I have nothing to add. Why is he here?
Liotti, sneaky. He's 25 years old. He was 24 last year.
Nice. Came up young.
To put up that season? Yeah, right? A little Liotti fatigue.
Liotti. How about that?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Sorry. Trying my best. Let's run through it. See if I have a final Caesar Let's thumb decision.
Up. Let's go bottom up.
The goes. These guys go. Esturi Ruiz and Jose Azokar. Mm. The goes and gets it. Harrison Bader. Brenton, my son. Doyle. Johan Rojas. Mild flaws. Kevin Kiermaier, Victor Robles, Alec Thomas, Jake Myers, scary pick on here. Kyle Isbell, Parker Meadows. Watch out for him this year. Interested. New music, Jazz. Jose Siri, Jack Sawinski, Jaron Duran, Leody Tavares, and whoever's out there for the Cardinals. $100 million mystery box, Jung-Hoo Lee, Byron Buxton, Jackson Chirillo. Likeable lefties, Cobell, TJ Friedel. God, remember when he turned into a whole mystery before
that was
us?
So fun.
Mm-hmm. No way to hear on that. Cedric Mullins, James Outman, the Promised Princes, Luis Robert, Michael Harris, maybe Julio, or is he happy Otani's gone with Judge and Trout?
You know where I stand.
We've all made compelling arguments for Julio, for happy Otani's gone, because A, be happy Otani's gone. All this knob goblin jolly was giving you.
Excuse you.
And even myself, I think the safer bet for the 2024 season that I would want on my team would be Julio over Trout. But I'm not doing it yet. I'm going to wear this one. I appreciate the discussion. If Julio gives me a good first half, I take it all back, and he's pretty much taking the throne. But I don't know. I do need to see it. I feel like it's hurt the Mariners that it's been slow the past 2 years. Wash it away this year. I'll wear the egg on my face. Sorry, Seattle. We love you. See you at the next All-Star game out there. Thank you to Jolly Olive. Thank you to Biebs. Comment, subscribe, dance, and love.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, fam. I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with Melissa Joan Hart. LL Cool J gave me some great advice. He had all these gold chains and I was like, wow, look at all these diamonds. And he said something to the effect of, don't waste your money on something like this. Buy a house. Like, he gave me like solid investment advice where I was like, save my money. Got it.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.